Wilson's fascist police state. Today, we unreflectively associate fascism with militarism, but it should be remembered that fascism was militaristic because militarism was progressive at the beginning of the 20th century. Across the intellectual landscape, technocrats and poets alike saw the military as the best model for organizing and mobilizing society. Mussolini's Battle of the Grains and similar campaigns were publicized on both sides of the Atlantic as the enlightened application of James's doctrine of the moral equivalent of war. There was a deep irony to America's war aim to crush Prussian militarism, given that it was Prussian militarism which had inspired so many of the war's American cheerleaders in the first place. The idea that war was the source of moral values had been pioneered by German intellectuals in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and the influence of these intellectuals on the American mind was enormous. When America entered the war in 1917, progressive intellectuals, versed in the same doctrines and philosophies popular on the European continent, leaped at the opportunity to remake society through the discipline of the sword. It is true that some progressives thought that World War I was not well advised on the merits, and there were a few progressives, Robert La Follette, for example, who were decidedly opposed, though La Follette was no pacifist, having supported earlier progressive military adventures. But most supported the war enthusiastically, even fanatically. The same goes for a great many American socialists. And even those who were ambivalent about the war in Europe were giddy about what John Dewey called the social possibilities of war. Dewey was the New Republic's in-house philosopher during the lead-up to the war, and he ridiculed self-described pacifists who couldn't recognize the immense impetus to reorganization afforded by this war. One group that did recognize the social possibilities of war were the early feminists who, in the words of Harriet Stanton Blatch, looked forward to new economic opportunities for women as the usual and happy accompaniment of war. Richard Ely, a fervent believer in industrial armies, was a zealous believer in the draft. The moral effect of taking boys off street corners and out of saloons and drilling them is excellent, and the economic effects are likewise beneficial. Wilson clearly saw things along the same lines. "I am an advocate of peace," he began one typical declaration, "but there are some splendid things that come to a nation through the discipline of war." Hitler couldn't have agreed more. As he told Joseph Goebbels, "The war made possible for us the solution of a whole series of problems that could never have been solved in normal times." We should not forget how the demands of war fed the arguments for socialism. Dewey was giddy that the war might force Americans to give up much of our economic freedom. "We shall have to lay by our good-natured individualism and march in step,"